Proverbs 2:7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Proverbs 2:7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Proverbs 2:7. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful again for the fact that we're privileged to be here. These are important moments for all of us, and so we pray that in harmony we will be able to receive what You have for us. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have opportunity to advance and grow. We realize that these verses of Scripture are so potent, so powerful. We have the responsibility of getting our souls dressed for victory, dressed for triumph, for joy, for peace, for happiness, contentment. So many people today, we believe, Lord, who are believers, who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And perhaps this is all of our thoughts in relationship to the fact that we have not gotten our souls dressed as we should have. And so we're reminded again today that our responsibility is to think about this and to realize that life at the longest is so short. And so while we're here, help us to major on the major aspects of life and minor on the minor aspects of life. Help us to emphasize that which is very, very important and diminish those things that are less important and so many things that are not important at all. Father, we're here today once again to open our hearts to Your Word. We pray that these moments will be for all of us extremely beneficial. And we thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see Ephesians 4:22, and I said read, put off. We're dealing with three exegetical infinitives. I'm aware of the fact that we could get into a discussion about verbal nouns and verbal adjectives and a lot of things from the standpoint of the Greek, but my goal today is to emphasize these verses of Scripture to see what God has in store for us as believers. There are some things that you and I have the responsibility of getting rid of. There are some things that you and I have the responsibility of taking on to our lives. So we're to put off some things. We're to be renewed, as verse 23 tells us, Ephesians 4:23. And then we're to put on some things as revealed in Ephesians 4:24. You notice that we've said put off the impressions and the influence of our old sinful nature. We've talked about the fact that there exists the old sin nature. And we have the responsibility of not allowing the old sin nature to be in charge. When I look at the subject of the old sin nature, I drew some conclusions that you may want to write. Number one, there exists an enmity. There exists an enmity. The depravity of the human race, the sin nature, personal sins. This is described in many different verses of Scripture, like Romans 5:6-10. If we depend upon our own help, own initiative and our own abilities, we find ourselves helpless. Can't do anything to solve the problem. There's an emphasis in the scripture on the sinful nature. We've looked at that. We won't spend a lot of time there. We've emphasized in our lives and understand personal sins. Ephesians 2, 1 through and 3 says we're dead in trespasses and sins. In Romans 5, 12, the presence of the sinful nature is very evident. And I have Romans 5, 12 here for us to look at in a few moments. In Colossians 1, 21, we discover that the old sin nature is hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. I'm just glancing through very quickly to let you see some things in relationship to the old sin nature. When you go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it emphasizes that we're dead in transgressions and sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, sin nature. There's an emphasis in the scripture on the soul of an unsaved is a psychikos soul, ungodly, unholy, without hope, without God in this world. It's described as spiritual death. This is presented to us in Isaiah 14, 12, 13, and 14. Presented to us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Presented to us in Romans 5, 23. That should be 5 instead of E. 1 Peter 2, 22, Hebrews 4, 15. We can go to the Old Testament and we discover an emphasis upon the understanding the old sin nature. Genesis 2, 27. Genesis 3, 19. Go into the book of Hebrews and find it in Hebrews 9, 26. Acts 4, 12. Acts 13, 38 and 39. All of these verses have to do with understanding the old sin nature. We are analyzing now, last session, powerful words. Today, extremely powerful words. When we looked at Ephesians 4, 19 to 22, we saw powerful words. Today, we're looking at Ephesians 4, 22, 23, and 24. We're calling it, as you've already heard in the first session, extremely powerful words. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct of the old man being corrupted according to the lust of deceit. Let's spend a few moments now looking again at these three exegetical infinitives. The first one we emphasized, put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, the old sinful man, being corrupted according to the lust of deceit. The first exegetical infinitive is found in Ephesians 4:22, and it is the Greek word apotithemi. Tithemi is a Greek word that means to cut off. Apo emphasizes the cut away from, that you put off, cut off, get away from, push aside. Your old man. Your old man is what all of us have, and that is the old sinful nature. We have a responsibility of being able to see that we do not have to be under the control of our sinful nature. No matter who we are, we have an old sinful nature. We've emphasized the fact that the old sin nature is the inside agent of Satan. Satan's inside agent. It's powerful for us to be able to see that and understand that we make decisions every day whether we're being under the control of our sinful nature or under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The reason why we study the way we do is because I'm of the opinion, and I'm convinced that this is true, that when you and I see God's Word and look through God's Word at the various aspects of life, we're seeing from a divine vertical viewpoint and not from a human horizontal viewpoint. We're able to see that we cannot be successful, we cannot be triumphant, we cannot be victorious in our Christian lives if we are frustrated by the control on a continuous basis of our old sinful nature. What we're trying to do is emphasize that temptation itself is not sin, but when we yield to temptation, then we have disobeyed God and we've knocked out of fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are grieving and then probably even coming to a point of quenching the Holy Spirit. I say that so rapidly, and I wonder by my statement if you're able to remember what we've said in relationship to the difference between grieving the Holy Spirit on the one hand and quenching the Holy Spirit on the other hand. Both of those are taught in the Word of God. Grieving the Holy Spirit takes place when you and I make a bad decision not to be in continual fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." That's a command. And whenever God gives commands in His Word, He also makes it possible for that command to be obeyed. Just remember that there are many imperative verbs in the New Testament. Many imperative verbs. These imperative verbs are powerful. They're commands. But we have to understand that when God gives a command by these imperative verbs, He also makes it possible for that command to be properly replied to. If He says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit," He's made it possible for us to know without doubt that we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Not based upon our feelings, not based upon anything other than what His Word says. His Word says that we're filled if we obey that command. The same thing is true in relationship to salvation. If He tells us, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," is that true or isn't it true? If He gives us a command, then He makes it possible for that command to be obeyed. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we have an emphasis in the Scripture on how powerful God's Word is. This says that you put off concerning your old man, the old sin nature, that's corrupted according to the epithemia, the lust of deceit. I don't want to overdo this, but I do want you to see that apotithemy, to put off, is here an infinitive, which simply says that you and I should have a wish or desire to put off the control of the old sinful nature. This is an aorist tense, which means at a point of time. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby, which says that if we will do what this verse says, it's going to be to our benefit. That's the middle voice. If the content of that statement is in the negative, then the response of that is also in the negative. The subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby, if it's positive, or if it's negative, they'll not be benefited thereby. This is saying, if we put off the old sin nature, we're going to be benefited thereby. I have so much information. Sometimes I wonder about myself when I realize that I want to give you more than I have time to give you. I remember back when we first started our church 44 plus years ago, I believe we had 6 or 7 sessions a week. And I loved it. And I would love it again. But I don't want you to faint because I'm not making plans to start 7 sessions a week. Back when we were Second Baptist Church, when I felt so concerned about getting God's Word out, I started teaching a different book of the Bible, 7 books, I believe it was, a week. Now, I was crazy then, and I would be crazy again now if I started to do that. But I want you to know that I'm concerned about people having an intake, spiritual intake of truth. And that's the reason why I try to hit so many different subjects and try to emphasize so many important facets. Extremely powerful words. Ephesians 4:22-24. On the screen again, I repeat that you put off aorist middle infinitive, apotithemi. Cut it off. Push it aside. Don't let it be in control. What is this saying? It's saying that you and I have an opportunity not to be under the control of our old sinful nature. Put off. Aorist middle infinitive. Verse 23. We'll get into this again on Wednesday night. Verse 23. Renewed. Be renewed. If you'll notice what the word there is, the infinitive is a present passive infinitive. Which means, present tense means action continuing. We can draw a line and describe action continuing. Passive voice, subject receives the action. I don't need to go over this again. We've heard it many times. If you have an active voice, the subject produces the action. If you have a middle voice, the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. If it's a passive voice, the subject receives the action. If I should come to you and ask you, tell me what an active voice means, a passive voice, a middle voice, I would be so disappointed if you couldn't tell me, because I've said this dozens and dozens of times. This is a passive voice. And it says, be renewed. Which means that we are the recipients of that renewal. Let me give you a verse of scripture which you've heard many, many times. When you go to 1 John, the first chapter, you're going to find a little Greek, little word in the English that's a translation of a Greek word, 2 letters, if, if. What we've learned over the past 40 some odd 50 years, if you see that little word if, it could be saying if and it is true. It could be saying if and it is not true. It could be saying if maybe it is true, maybe it isn't true. So I trust that from here on out, when you're reading your whatever translation you have, and you come to the little word if, that you ask yourself the question, is this if and it is true? Or is it if and it isn't true? Or if maybe it's true, maybe it isn't true? When you go to 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He will forgive our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that little if there is not if and it is true. It is not if, I wish it were true, but it isn't. It is if, maybe so, maybe no, which is known in the Greek as a third-class conditional clause. I want you to see how important this is in relationship to you and me personally. When you look at that word, you will discover that it is, from the Greek, a contraction. And in the Greek language, you have what is known as a prothesis, a statement clause, and an apothesis, which is an answering clause. It is known as a prothesis and an apothesis, and that's technical, but I'm aware of the fact that you need to hear this. It says, if we confess our sins, third class, maybe we will, maybe we won't. If we do, He will hear, and He will forgive, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Let me quickly tell you that 1 John, the first chapter, is such a powerful chapter because it deals with that little word if over and over and over again. I would challenge you, if you haven't done this recently, is to go home, take your Bible, and read 1 John, the first chapter. And just be aware of the fact that while you're reading, you've heard the preacher talk about this. What is so unique is, in the original language, there's an emphasis on little particles, little words, that will help you to determine whether this particular part of the verse is a prothesis or an apothesis, if it's a statement clause or if it's the answer clause. What happens here is that when you look at these sentences, you will discover that in a Greek sentence, you will have an epsilon iota, a EI, which goes in the first part of that sentence, which is the prothesis. And then you have an alpha nu that goes in the second part. And that would let you see that there's an emphasis in the first part, which is the statement clause, and the last part, which is the answering clause. If we confess our sins, that's the statement clause. He will hear and will forgive, that's the answering clause. What's so unique about the Greek is, what they've done, they've taken, the Greek language has taken the letters of the prothesis and the letters of the apothesis, and they created what is known as a contraction. Are you interested in this? I want you to see how unique it is. They take the letters EI, epsilon iota, and then they go over to the apothesis and they take the alpha nu and they squeeze them together. And so when you squeeze epsilon iota, alpha nu together, you have epsilon iota, alpha nu. Isn't that beautiful? I thought you'd just wait forever to get that. And when you come to epsilon iota, alpha nu, you're going to look at that for a moment and you will discover that there are two vowels side by side. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So one of those vowels has to drop out. And it does drop out. And that's the reason when you look at your Greek of 1 John, the first chapter, all through there, you will find in the Greek the letters epsilon, alpha, nu. Not epsilon, iota, alpha, nu. Which says, what has happened here is, they've taken these two and they brought them, contraction, brought them together, and that presents to us a third class conditional clause, which says, we may confess our sins or we may not. It all has to do with you and me and what we're going to do with our old sinful nature. That's what this is all about. If you'll notice, we're to put off something. We're to put off the old sin nature. We are to accept the fact that when we do that, we become the recipient of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Put off the old sin nature. Verse 23, be renewed. Now, did you look at your bulletin today? Let me see if I can find one. I should have a bulletin here somewhere that tells you all of this. I can't find it, but that's okay. You look at your bulletin, and there you will be able to see what we've tried to emphasize so that you would have no difficulty understanding what you and I have the responsibility of doing. And that is, we are to make the decision. We may or may not. Third class conditional clause. But if we do, if we'll confess, then God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Put off. Okay. I've done myself a favor. I've underlined special words. On the screen now you see putting off is the aorist middle infinitive. In another place, I've emphasized the old sinful nature. I've said time and time again, this is an emphasis upon the powerful words. Extremely powerful words. Put off. Look, if you will, now at verse 23. Put on. Put on there emphasizes what we've been talking about, restoration of fellowship. Put on. By confessing our faults, failures, and sins, the old sin nature becomes under control. We're now under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And we find ourselves on a moment-by-moment basis triumphant and victorious in life. Put off, and then verse 24, put on. When I see this, the put on, I see that there's an emphasis upon the Greek word for clothe. And I said that in the first session today. I repeat it now just for a moment or two. The word clothe there is the word which means to allow the soul to become dressed, a dressed soul. I don't know how to explain this other than to say that God has provided a wardrobe for us. And we can go to our spiritual wardrobe, and whatever is necessary there, we can accept and utilize. God will cleanse us. He will get us in proper relationship to Him. And then as we begin to receive spiritual food for our souls on a continual basis, we will receive spiritual clothing. We'll be getting the dressing for the soul. I'd like for you to think in terms of the fact that you have given to you and me by God a spiritual, magnificently full spiritual wardrobe. Now I realize that some of you folks have in your wardrobe friends, some of you have acquaintances, and some of you have enemies in your wardrobe at home. What you've discovered is that the enemies are at the back of the wardrobe. And you may glance that way once in a while, but you leave them back there. You don't bother. But you also have what you would classify as friends. And you would utilize those more often. God has given to us no enemies. The wardrobe is completely filled with everything we need for every facet of life, for every difficulty of life, for every burden of life. God has provided for us everything we need so that we can be properly, spiritually dressed. And I'm seeing this more clearly now than I have in all these many, many years. It's important then that we find and appreciate and understand three exegetical infinitives. And we'll deal with that again on Wednesday night. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize again today how much you have for us. The wardrobe has been totally packed with everything that is necessary for us to have an abundant, fruitful, victorious life. Help us to see that. Help us to understand it. Help us to be aware of the fact that you desire for us victory and joy and peace and contentment. And for the people who've never accepted you as Savior, they need to do this because this changes life. Everything is different when a person knows Jesus Christ personally. Thank you for each person in this auditorium today. And thank you for every person listening to this voice. We do not know, but we know that you know the heart of every person who's hearing today. And especially for those who do not know you and have never trusted you, help them to do that now. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that. And all of us in this auditorium today as believers, help us to see that as we walk up to this magnificent building in our minds and slide the doors back and turn the lights on, we're able to see how powerful and wonderful your gift and your provisions are for us. We pray that you will bless us as we leave this place today. Take us safely. Watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, soul.